Welcome to the R Word Podcast.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Lowell.
And we are here to discuss reparations in the church.
Hi friends, Lowell Taylor here. In the last episode of the podcast, Dustin and I ended season 3. In the next episode, Dustin and our new friend Jonathan Brooks will start season 4. So this is an in-between episode with two purposes. First, I want to present a sermon that I wrote, The Root and Fruit of Repentance, a Lamentation for White Christians Like Me, is a short sermon on Matthew 3:1-10 in the Bible. Second, I want to promote an event that the Zacchaeus Foundation is hosting. We're watching The Big Payback, a film about reparations featuring our friend Robin Simmons, at Fayetteville Public Library on Thursday, January 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Walker Room. You're listening to The R Word. We'll be back with more after this break.
Hello, I am Leah Uribe, host of Sound Perimeter. Sound Perimeter is one of many podcasts that are created right here at KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. Sound Perimeter is dedicated to exploring diverse voices and perspectives within the world of music. Its goal is to broaden the audience's understanding and connection to inclusive and diverse musical experiences, with the hope of allowing music to have a transformative impact on their lives. If you want to learn more about Sound Perimeter or discover what else your public radio station has to offer, go to kuaf.com/podcast. You can also find Sound Perimeter wherever you listen to podcasts.
Every day, Ozarks at Large brings you the news, music, and culture that make our corner of the world unique. You can hear live music performed inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, sit in on conversations with community leaders, and hear reported stories about immigrant communities, the environment, and politics. Listen weekdays on 91.3 KUAF or search for Ozarks at Large in your podcast app.
You're listening to The R Word. Now, the sermon. Matthew 3:1-10 says, In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The thesis of my sermon is that John and Jesus lament the sin of the Jewish leaders, who neither humble themselves and receive mercy, the root of repentance, nor do justice, the fruit of repentance. I'll explain my thesis in three parts. First, we'll look at the content of John's message to the Jewish people. Second, the contrast between the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders. And third, the conflict between John, Jesus, and the Jewish leaders in the text. Finally, we'll ask how to apply the text in our context. So first, content. We see the content of John's message to the Jewish people in verse 2, which says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Kingdom is used 55 times in the book of Matthew, When we think of kingdom, we may think of a place like the United Kingdom. But in the Bible, the emphasis of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is less on the place that is ruled and more on the person who rules. So we can think of the kingdom of God as God's rule. In the Bible, God's rule is both present and future, now and not yet. However, for John, the perfect tense has come emphasizes the here and now-ness of God's rule. John does not say the kingdom of heaven will come or the kingdom of heaven is coming, but the kingdom of heaven has come in Jesus, for whom he prepares the way. When we think of repentance, we may think of feeling sorry for sin. Repentance is not less than feeling sorry for sin, but it is more than that. The Greek word translated repent means to change one's mind. So we can think of repentance as both feeling sorry for sin and turning from sin to God in obedience. Now, importantly, God turns to people before people turn from sin to God. John says, repent for or because the kingdom of heaven has come. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So one way to understand the content of John's message is that it invites people to humble themselves and receive God's mercy, which is the root of repentance. So next, contrast. Verses 1 to 4 describe John and his message. We see the contrast between the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders in verses 5 to 7. In verses 5 to 6, the Jewish people are described as baptized and confessing. Confession, turning from sin, and repentance, turning to God in obedience, are the conditions for John's baptism. Verse 8 starts with the word but, which contrasts the Jewish leaders to the Jewish people. The NRSV describes the Jewish leaders as, quote, coming for baptism. It's possible that the Jewish leaders come to confess, repent, and be baptized. However, it's more probable that they come merely to watch. The NLT describes the Jewish leaders as coming to watch him baptize. So one way to understand the contrast between the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders is that the Jewish people humble themselves, receive God's mercy, and repent. However, the Jewish leaders are too proud to do so. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18 illustrates the contrast well. It says, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Next, conflict. We see the conflict between John and the Jewish leaders in verses 7 to 10. John's message to the Jewish leaders is different than his message to the Jewish people. He tells the Jewish people to repent, but he tells the Jewish leaders to bear fruit worthy of repentance. The implication is that the Jewish leaders have not repented, as we saw in the contrast between the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders. John's message to the Jewish leaders is in the language of lament. In the Bible, God's messengers lament or grieve when God's people sin. God's messengers often lament the sin of injustice with anger and alarm. Examples include Isaiah 5, Isaiah 58, and Amos 5. In Matthew 3, John laments the sin of the Jewish leaders with anger, calling them snakes, and alarm, warning them of God's wrath. Now, John doesn't say how the Jewish leaders have sinned in Matthew 3, But Jesus does in Matthew 23, the climax of the conflict between John Jesus and the Jewish leaders. Like John, Jesus laments the sin of the Jewish leaders with anger, calling them snakes, and alarm, warning them of God's wrath in chapters 12 and 23. Importantly, in chapter 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," 6 times, and "woe to you, blind guides," once. Hypocrite is used 14 times in Matthew and 7 times in chapter 23. Jesus associates the word hypocrite with many sins of the Jewish leaders. However, 2 are that they don't practice what they preach, and they don't practice justice, mercy, and faith. This echoes Micah 6:8, which says God wants people to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. So one way to understand the conflict between John, Jesus, and the Jewish leaders, therefore, is that the Jewish leaders neither humble themselves and receive mercy, which is the root of repentance, nor do justice, which is the fruit of repentance. John and Jesus lament the injustice of the Jewish leaders who preach but do not practice justice. Finally, as I reflect on the conflict between John, Jesus, and the Jewish leaders in the biblical text, I'm reminded of the conflict between black and white Christians in our American context. As we turn from the text to our context, I want us to listen to a lamentation from Reverend Dr. Charlie Dates. Dates gave the message we will listen to at the MLK 50 conference in 2018. In it, he laments the injustice of many white Christian leaders who preach but do not practice justice. Let's listen to a few minutes of Dates' message now.
While I cannot speak for all black America, I do have the mic today, and I'm on good historical grounds to propose to y'all that this is what has frustrated many black churches with our white evangelical brothers and sisters. Those of you who have a firm grasp on orthodoxy, who understand the finer tenets of the gospel, who launch coalitions, who sustain commissions, and who produce curriculum and lobby with Congress. We have expected you to be our greatest allies in the struggle against injustice. We wanted you to tell your churches and your congregations that God was never pleased with segregation and the systems that segregation have created. We wanted you to use your influence with your governors and your politicians to end the long night of systemic injustices. We wanted y'all to cry about the public school to prison pipeline. We wanted you to see that states like Illinois spend more money on mass incarceration than they do education. That the prison industrial complex is a wicked big business swallowing black men and brown boys. That mass incarceration has been created to create a permanent second-class citizenry of black and brown people. And we wanted you to shout it from your pulpit. We want you to tell your city fathers that contract leasing, redlining, and neighborhood improvement laws intended to keep us living in segregated quarters was offensive to God, and that you wouldn't stand for it by the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wanted y'all to unflinchingly denounce the politics of fear and the alt-right racism that elected playboys while denouncing a black man who was loyal to his wife all his years in office and took care of his kids and did not disgrace America. We wanted y'all to preach a gospel that was bigger than the clandestine provincial and colonial misreads that told slaves to obey their masters as if Paul intended American slavery to be ordained by God. Shame on you! That wasn't for you, Matt. I'm sorry, that just came out. I'm trying to get it out. We have wanted you to come to Memphis, but to say in your coming that the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. came to Memphis and was slain in Memphis because a poor black garbage collector was killed, not by his truck, but by a racist mayor, Henry Loeb, who would not pay black garbage workers the same way that they paid white ones, and that same economic injustice still lives today. But instead of finding allies in the fight for justice on the grounds of righteousness, we have encountered antagonists. Instead of understanding our plight, we have been met with demands to justify our sentiments. Instead of you coming to our churches, moving into our neighborhoods, serving under our pastors, leveraging your privilege, we have had to move into your churches, read your theological heroes, march under your banner, and keep silent in your pews when Trayvon Martin was killed, Mike Brown was murdered, and Laquan McDonald was shot down with 16 bullets. And instead of being able to be our expressive or contemplative selves in your churches, we have had to sit down and make you comfortable. We have had to learn all about you in seminary, but you ain't never had to learn about us. I'm trying to say, friends, that Martin King would say to us, these things ought not be.
As we conclude, I want to ask how to apply the text in our context. In 2020, Dates wrote an article called We Out, explaining why his church left the SBC, a majority white denomination. A 2018 New York Times article called The Quiet Exodus explains why many black Christians are leaving majority white churches, as does the 2021 Pass the Mic podcast, Leave Loud series. So, one way to apply the text in our context is to follow Date's example and leave churches whose leaders preach but do not practice justice. In Matthew 10, Jesus says, followers become like leaders. So if we want to become people who practice justice, then we need to follow leaders who do so. A second way to apply the text in our context is to learn about injustice by attending the Zacchaeus Foundation events, for example. A third way to apply the text in our context is to do justice by investing in the Zacchaeus Fund for Black-led nonprofits, for example. Thanks for listening to today's sermon and episode of the R Word podcast. You can learn more about the Zacchaeus Foundation on our website, thezacchaeusfoundation.org.
On Ozarks at Large, you can expect to hear in-depth analysis of the news that matters to you.
The three largest metropolitan statistical areas in Arkansas were collectively awarded nearly $100 million by the Environmental Protection Agency as part of their Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program.
But you can also expect to hear whimsical stories, too.
So we've been in business 3 years now, and all the other yarn stores were like, hey, we have this yarn crawl. Do you guys want to be part of it?
Stories about politics.
And so what is different here in Arkansas is use of contraception and the fact that we don't have sexual health education in our schools.
And also hard-hitting questions.
Pick your dream concert, venue, two openers, and a headliner.
Oh, my.
There's a reason we call it Ozarks at Large. Listen weekdays at noon and 7 p.m. on KUAF.